Their faith and trust in Him. Have a proper candidate for baptism. You have to have somebody that's born again, that's put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have a proper authority. That's a local New Testament church. And a proper mode of baptism is enough water to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be in prayer for these two brethren as they have taken the step of obedience.
attendance there. I enjoyed that. Good job, Brother Bill. Good to have all of you here today. If you're visiting with us this morning for the first time, we're so thankful that you've chosen our church to come and worship at. We do not take it lightly at all. We know you could have went anywhere this morning around us. You did. You chose to come and to be with us, and so we're grateful to be with you and hope you enjoy your time here at the house of God. It's good to have Brother Mark Bullock and his family with us. They're missionaries traveling through, headed down to get their visas from the consulate in Miami. So pray God's speed upon them as they meet with the consulate people for Spain next couple of days. It's also good to have some folks from Grand Forks. Ben Thompson called me this morning and said he was sending visitors our way. So they came in. Good to have you folks with us. Folks from Canada, good to have you guys here with us as well. And California, how is that? Wow, good to have you, Miss Brittany. And any other visitors that we have here with us this morning, if I don't know where you're from or what place, forgive me. I'll try to get it the second time you visit with us. Come back and be with us again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I tell you, we live in a strange country, do we not? A friend of ours from down in Honduras said this, that Americans are crazy. Did not want to be offensive to us, but I could have told him that without him telling me that. But he said, I do not understand a country that on one day they're giving thanks for everything and they're grateful for everything, and the very next morning they're fighting each other for mixers. Just, we are a strange group of people. I mean, strange. If you went on Black Friday, I'm okay with that. That's your business. That don't bother me at all. But how in the world can we be so grateful on one day and then so uptight and in a roar the very next day? I don't know. He got it right. We are a strange group of people, but I'm glad to be from America. I'm glad that we're made up the way we're made up. And so maybe one day we'll realize that those $200 TVs, not that big important deal. We don't have to fight each other over them. Maybe we will. I doubt it. But all you had to do was wait till Monday and they'd mail it to your house for the same price. Crazy. We're crazy people. Matthew chapter number 1, verse 18. The Bible says in verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I've told this story here before about my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was a very gracious lady. I mean, I really did truly enjoy my mother-in-law. But she had gotten a divorce. My wife must have been 16, 17 years old at the time. And they'd gone through a divorce, and you know, you go from stability to a difficult time in your life, such as that. And I remember Christmas time. Man, she'd come around, Brother Jim, she'd be worried. Sick, full of anxiety. What am I going to buy? How am I going to buy it? I don't have no funds. I'm just barely getting through. And at that time, she had went back to college, and she got her degree to become a nurse. Even after that, she was in her late 50s, I believe. I think so. And she went back to college, got her nursing degree. She had been a mother, a homemaker, and all that time. And it was difficult. She was worked for a little while, 12-hour shifts here, 12 hours there, some part-time here and there, trying to make ends meet, struggling back and forth. And Christmas time just became full of anxiety for her. I mean, just troubled, especially when the grandchildren started coming along. My wife and I got married. We have grandchildren, have a grandchild, and another one came, and then her son, the son that my wife's brother got married, and then they had a son, and then it became more and more of a difficult struggle. Worried about what you're going to buy. You're going to buy this, can I buy that? Came such a time of anxiety and depression for her, she would just go out and take a loan to buy Christmas gifts. Isn't that crazy? Now, if you've done that already, I'm not fighting you. I'm not mad at you. I'm really not. That is your business. But we got to get beyond the point where Christmas is it's about the trophies that we get and we give. Remember the story I told you about my grandfather-in-law? Now, he was a little bit frugal, you might say. He would go to the store, and him and his wife, and they'd go to a little store called TGNY. I don't know if y'all know what a TGNY is, but it's sort of like a Fred's, but a little bit bigger. And he would buy, dozens of these socks in a pack, and he'd cut them open, wrap them up, give each person one pair of socks for Christmas. No anxiety, no stress, no loan to carry over the next month, the next year, nothing to do there. And he just did not allow it to get done. It didn't become a time of anxiety. And we're in that time. And this story I just read, I'm certain that it did, to be honest with you, it was a time of probably most difficult decisions being made by a man named Joseph. I mean, you think about the whole scenario. Everything probably seemed to be going pretty good. If you know the way that things were back then, the family would approach the groom's family would approach the bride's family. They'd make a proposal. They would become sort of engaged with an agreement, and it was the same as being spouses, the same as it was a done deal. It was just that firm. The son or the bride, the groom and his man would leave, and then they would go and begin to build a house for his new family. And the father would watch over the whole scenario. So things had done been going along. He had done dreamed and had dreams and plans, and he's building on the house, and and then all of a sudden, here's the news. Mary is with child. And these little two words, verse 20, fear not. Fear not. And I began to search and look around and began to try to figure this out. And if you would, go with me quickly to Luke. Hold your place back in Matthew, because we're going to flip back over there. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1. Verse 13. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Look at verse 30 of the same chapter. As the story begins to unfold, as we know the Christmas story, it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says there in Luke 2:10, For unto you is born this day, and the angel said unto them, verse 10, Fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So the first time that we have any idea of what we have run into and drummed up into what we call the Christmas story was a time of anxiety. It was a time of fear. It was a time of trouble. It was a time of uncertainty. And four times in this year passages that we read, all dealing with the same story, the same time frame, God says to them, Fear not. Fear not. If you would, go with me over into 1 Peter. Hold your place in Matthew, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Dear friend, I know there's times in our life, not just during Christmas time as we are now, but there's other times in our life where we get to the point where we just think that no one cares. Matter of fact, the Psalms in the Old Testament, the psalmist wrote, I looked on my left, I looked on my right, it seemed that no man careth for my soul. So in sometimes in our life, dear friend, there's times that we feel like that no one cares. We feel like that we cannot handle the situation before us. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure Joseph at this time in his life was feeling the same. Zacharias was feeling the same. I can imagine Mary was feeling the same. Years and years ago, they used to have what they called a shotgun wedding. Anybody know what a shotgun weddings were? That was for folks who thought that they wanted to be married but didn't want to go down to the justice of peace or to the preacher and make it known. So they played married, and then something happened. One of them, always is amazing to me, was the woman who came with child. Isn't that amazing how that works? Never has to be determined. It just works out that way. Mom and dad find out about it. Grandpa and aunts and uncles find out about it. And lo and behold, next thing you know, they make a visit over to the gentleman's house. And they help him over there to the justice of peace house or to the preacher's house, whatever time it was. And before you know it, they were hitched up, married, and on their way. Listen, dear friend. Before I get too deep into all that and get somebody upset, if you play like you married, go ahead and get married. If you enjoy the indulgence of the flesh, where it's only held for the marital bed, go ahead and get married. You won't have to worry about all that. Anyways, I knew that would go over like a lead balloon, because it's 2017 and that's not relevant. It's not for today, preacher. That was good in 1611 when the Bible was written, but for today it's not good. I don't think God's changed His mind at all on the issue or the matter. Amen. But as we go on along, you can think with me for a moment for the story here that we've read from the Bible. No wonder God had to send the angel and tell him, say, listen, fear not. And there's some times, dear friend, we need to hear from God. Fear not. But there's some times, dear friend, when we may be like Joseph. I'm going to be honest with you. He probably felt pretty let down at this time. He had done built up on this house and put his money into it, and then set the dowry aside, made the agreement that had been put out there. And at this time in his life, when he gets the news, he feels like that he has been let down by the one he loved with everything. I mean, he loved Mary, and he felt let down. And Joseph, at the hearing of the matter, Joseph done already concluded in his mind, she's been immoral. That she has been immoral. And listen, I'm just be honest with you, there's often times, dear friend, that we come to the wrong conclusion about what's going on around us. A lot of times we come to the wrong conclusion. Can you agree with me, since we know the rest of the story, that Joseph came to the wrong conclusion? Sure he did. He had thought immediately no wonder, if you would, go over in Matthew chapter 7, that we're warned about this very thing. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. We'll read Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, "Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Listen, dear friend, you ought to be careful about the sins that you call out on others and about the way you approach others. And if such a one is fallen, ye which are spiritual should lift up such a one. But we need to make sure that we're clean and we're upright and we're walking right. Because, dear friend, I might be a gossip and you might be one that's striving in contention, but your sin is just as sinful as mine. Got to be right with all this, you know. So be careful, because how you approach somebody in that situation, dear friend, it's coming back. The pendulum that swings out always comes back. That which is thrown up always comes down. And I'm telling you something, dear friend. We need to be careful about jumping to conclusions. I mean, he was like a... And I don't know if I'd have been there in the very same situation. I believe, dear friend, that I might would have fallen into the same shoes of Joseph and came to the same thought pattern that, hey, it's not mine. We've been apart. I've been building on this house. Now all of a sudden she's pregnant. Ain't one way it could have happened. She's been immoral. And boy, it began to eat on him. While Joseph was worrying about this, dear friend, God had a plan. In the fullness of time, in Galatians 4:4 says, God sent forth His Son. So God had a plan during this situation. God was working. And listen, Mary had not been immoral, dear friend. She was just fulfilling the prophecy of what was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." And she was just part of that fulfillment, dear friend. But have you ever heard this statement, "You can't see the forest because of the trees"? This is where he's at. He's in the middle of this. His heart's, he's looking forward to the day when his father says, "Go get your bride, bring her home, let's have the ceremony." Everything's ready. But in verse 18, dear friend, Joseph is feeling pretty let down. Some of you may be feeling that way right now. Maybe a friend, maybe a family. God honest truth, it could be that I, as your pastor, have let you down. I'm human. And you're feeling pretty let down, dear friend. You're putting expectations on things that need not to have expectations put upon. It's only by the grace of God that none of us don't fall and fall to every day of our life. So as things goes on, you interact with people, dear friend. Be very careful that whenever you do feel let down, that you don't allow your emotions to run rampant and take over your thought pattern. Joseph was feeling pretty let down. Dear friend, I'm telling you something. If you have felt let down by somebody, some person, some group of people, maybe your job, maybe somebody here at the church, who knows, maybe family, You know, God will never let you down. Never. And I can promise you this, dear friend, if I've let you down today, I would not do it purposely, but I might let you down again in 2 or 3 months. That's how it works. You might not let me down today, but in 2 or 3 months, you might let me down. That's how well we're human. Man, he jumped to a conclusion here, didn't he? Listen, we need to be very careful. Go with me, if you would, over into Psalms 37. We need to be very careful about our thoughts as things begin to unravel and unfold in front of our eyes. Psalms 37, verse number 1. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Well, we can get that away, can't we? Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." We must stop fretting about the failures, dear friend, of others that have let us down. Because it's a simple fact of life, people will let you down. We got to get to the point that we don't place expectations upon people that we do not put upon ourselves. We expect them to act a certain way, expect them to be a certain way, we expect them to have this, and expect them to be this spiritual or that spiritual, and we expect and we expect and we expect, but for us, oh well, I'm just not to that point. Well, that's not for me. And when we put expectations on people, dear friend, that are unjust, they're going to let you down. If we can only remember this, dear friend, we are sinners saved by the grace of God. None other than God's goodness has got us where we are. So there's a fear not for when you feel let down. In verse 19, back over in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 19, chapter number 1 of the book of Matthew, look what it says here. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Not only is there a fear not for times when we've been let down, dear friend, but there is a fear not for times when we worry about public opinion. When we start to worry of what this one says and what this one's saying about me, what that one's going to say about me, what's going on? And Joseph was not willing, dear friend, to make a public example of her because he was worried about what everybody else would say. He didn't want Mary to be destroyed in her sin, and that's a good thing. You know, the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. Wasn't willing to make her a public example. I wonder how often we're so willing to publicly point out others' faults and sins to others, and we've never bowed a knee to pray on their behalf. I wonder how often we've run to some brother or sister in the guise of, "Let's pray about this, Brother James." "Well, Brother Jim, he needs our prayer, Brother James. He's wicked. He's wicked." And we leave it just at that. Now Brother James' mind's wondering, "Good night alive. I wonder what Brother Jim has done. Surely being that wicked, he shouldn't even be leading the singing." Don't your mind run that away? Ain't that what we do? We drop these little bitty hints. Because our preference wasn't made. But he's wicked. He wasn't publicly willing to put her to shame. He minded. He thought. I'm thinking, Lord, help. I done put all this money in there. At least I done built half a house. My next bride, she may not even like this style. He wasn't willing to make her an example. Wonder how often we're willing to make others an example so that we can get what we want. Fear not, for he feared what others would do when the facts were known. I wonder if we are that concerned about somebody else that's fallen into sin. That we don't want the whole world to know that we're not on the cell phone, that we're not God's Inquirer magazine, but we're so concerned that we first fall down on the flat of our face and we seek the face of God and we get everything right with inside of us, and then we approach them in long suffering and in gentleness and tenderness and approach them about what they're going through. And about what they're eating. This concern. Joseph wasn't willing to allow public opinion of Mary in such a situation as this to be brought up. He wasn't willing. I think about it. He was in a time that he could not understand what was going on. God came to him and said, fear not. Fear not. And he was concerned. Dear friend, listen, our responsibility is to do what God wants us to do in certain situations. It's not that we should do what others want us to do, but what God desires for us to do. Fear not when we're worried about public opinion. Go to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 25. When you start worrying about public opinion, whatever, you got to please everybody, dear friend, this is where you're at. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The Bible doesn't cover this, but human nature does. Think with me for a moment. Joseph obeys God, puts his thoughts aside, takes Mary as her wife, as his wife. You think people couldn't count months? You think people couldn't add it up? Joseph dancing, go get her on this day. 4 months later, out come baby Jesus. He didn't let it bother him, did he? He didn't allow public opinion. Some of you are allowing public opinion to keep you from serving God. Well, I'm a sinner. Praise God. If you're a sinner, you fit in with the rest of us. I've fallen short. I've committed this and I've done that. Praise God. It's not one of us can stand here and say our glory matches the glory of God. There's things you cannot do. I understand that. There's places you cannot serve, but you'll never be a redhead stepchild in God's eyes. You'll be his child. He is. But we allow what others think about us, and maybe it's friends, maybe it's family, maybe it's co-workers. I don't think I'm some fanatic if I get involved over at the church. And man, if I bring one of those tracks, Brother Ray, and invite them to the cantata, they're gonna think anyway. Good night alive. Have you ever stopped thinking because somebody didn't do something? No, you just keep thinking. Give me an example, preacher. Get down on your knees this evening at 1:30 when you get home and say you're going to pray. And you're going to talk only to God. Your mind is going to think on something. Wait a minute, God's holy, God's righteous, God's upright. And you're still going to think about other things? Sure. Sure you are. So there's a fear not for when you feel like you've been let down. There's that fear not for when you worry about the public's opinion, dear friend. And listen, there's a fear not, dear friend, in verse 20, if you would, back over in Matthew, for times when you are mentally overloaded with the cares of this world. Look over there in Matthew chapter 1 again. Matthew chapter number 1. And look in verse number 20. Listen what it says here. But while he thought on these things, dear friend, he must have thought on these things continually. It came to a point that it just overran his mind. I think often at times about Brother Bobby Robinson. Up in Walkertown, North Carolina, at the time that he had a mental breakdown. He had so much thought and care and weight upon him because of the care and concern for the folks that he pastored that he had literal a mental breakdown, in so much that his own associate pastor had to preach time and time and time again. I think about that a lot. Something else I think about is that his church stuck with him until God mentally healed his mind. And he was able to pastor once again. Still pastoring, and he's sick now. I mean, he's not doing well at all. Not doing well at all, but still pastoring. I think about Joseph, and he thought on these things. Can you imagine Joseph's state of mind during this time in his life? This is an emotional crisis. Joseph is not, he's not part of the, what's those superheroes? There's two groups of them. Spider-Man and one. And Avengers. He's not part of those. He was a human just like you and I. He wasn't the Green Lantern. He wasn't the Incredible Hulk. This was a man that had labored and worked and built, and his heart's desires was before him. It was getting close to the time that he was to take his bride, and the word is let out that she is with child. He felt that down. He worried about what others would think, and he thought on this continually. And his mind just ran and ran and ran. Has your mind ever ran on you? Has it just been like, what is going on? And your mind begins to add things up and add things up. Before you know it, you think, well, Brother Scott must not like me. He looked over at me kind of crossways. He just had some boogers in his eyes. He's just trying to get them out. Wasn't you at all. What has the devil done told you? They're against you. They're fighting. I saw something probably about 3 weeks ago, and it really began to make me think about this here and to ponder. The thought, the weight that we carry upon our mind, the mental anguish, you know, and we're going through the book of Mark, and where it says Christ was sorrowful. I mean, he was sorrowful in burden and care. And I'm thinking, all the people that wait upon his mind, the world. And it's easy to say, I've got a twisted ankle. It's easy to say I've got a toothache. It's easy to say I've got an earache. But it's hard to admit that you have mental burdens that you cannot bear. That's why he said, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. And he thought upon these things. Here's the secret. All of Joseph's anxiety had no foundation. I wonder how much of our anxiety has no basis whatsoever. Was not this in God's plan? The virgins could see. It was in God's plan. But it wasn't just Joseph. There was Zachariah. There was the shepherds. There was Mary. All of them. Jesus says, send the angel. Said, fear not. Fear not. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 34. The Bible says in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Ephesians 5 and 16. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Someone says like this, don't borrow trouble. Don't borrow trouble. And I tell you, he was having mental anguish. I was reading a quote or a passage. No, actually, I saw it the other day. Pastor Jeffers out of Texas was talking about life and the shortness of it, you know, and trying to give a good example of it. And Pastor Jeffers has a pretty big platform. I don't know him personally. I don't even listen to him at all. But this one particular thing, it was a blurb, and it was an insert, a blurb, whatever the stupid things are called. God help me. You got to be more refined, son. Whatever those things are called, points. He said, life is like a roll of toilet paper. This is a very distinguished man. He's very distinguished. He got a big platform. He said, the closer you get to the end of the roll, the faster it goes. And that's how life is, isn't it? We started out this here in our cantata, Brother Jim. It seemed like 2 weeks ago we finished up It's a Wonderful Life. We're in December next week. It's going fast. It's going fast. And we spend too much time worried about things that's not going to do us any good. We allow the weights and cares of the burdens of this world to overcome us and to carry us. Now listen, many of my personal fears are groundless. Are there some that are not? You're exactly right. They're there. But I wondered to myself when I was looking at this and studying this out, if I was to be able to discern what is really has some foundation to it and that which is just my mind running wild upon me, I wonder how much of a weight I would carry. It would be quite a load less, I guarantee you. But since I cannot distinguish the two because I'm human and God's ways is higher than my ways, God has made provision. Look in Matthew chapter 11. And we're almost done. I know some of you is thinking, I wish He made provision today for you to quit. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I tell you, thoughts they're heavy sometimes, aren't they? I think most of us lose the battle in our mind. Before we ever get started, ever get going down the road, good for God, we lose the battle in our mind. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we begin this year, trot down Christmas Lane today, it starts out with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of trouble. And that's how some of you started out this month. December. It's not even December yet. You're so worried about what's going to happen come Christmas time. How I'm going to make it. How I'm going to do it. How I'm going to get there. All that. And the cares of the world. Maybe you've got bills upon you. Bills upon you. Maybe you're having financial trouble. Perhaps you're having relationship trouble. And you know, holiday times is a difficult time. And it's upon you. And it's there. Just like in this story. And what is amazing about this story here of Joseph is the fact that his real concern was about Mary, the one he perceived had wronged him. His real concern was what people are going to think to her. He felt privileged to put her away. And he thought on these things and he carried the burden. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You're going to have to carry some burdens on your own. But as you carry them, take the yoke of Jesus on. His burden is light. Come to Him and you'll find rest. Whatever has you bah humbug already before we even get to the birth of Christ, turn it over to Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is on the way. Jim's going to lead us in the song of invitation. Perhaps this morning there's someone here that's still carrying the burden of sin. They've never trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. They've been doing good works, been religious, but they've never turned their life over to Christ in faith and repentance toward God. If that's you this morning, you come, let us take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps this morning you're carrying a weight, a burden that you don't have no business carrying. Maybe it's something that God's already forgiven you for, but the devil just beats you down. Won't you come? Cast your burden upon Him. He cares for you. Let Jesus take away those anguish, those pains, and those thoughts.